This is the February 19 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Jim McCormick. He's at agmarket.net out of Barrington, Illinois. And in Naperville, Illinois, we're joined by Logan Kimmel with Roach Ag Marketing. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, online, on demand at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G.org, where today you can purchase your tickets for the all-day agricultural outlook. It's at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. This 36th annual event costs just $40 to attend. It's the most interactive day you will ever have at a conference. Come and join us. We have a great lineup, including the Farm Doc team, along with Joe Jansen, as well as Gary Schnitke, Nick Paulson, and Bruce Sherrick. Oh, and Joanna Colusi will be there. She's at Purdue now, but will continue to talk with us about things that are happening in Brazil and agriculture there. We'll also have on hand with us to kick the day off Eric Snodgrass from Nutrien Ag Solutions. And along the way, many of our regular analysts that you hear each and every business day on WILL will join us in either the corn or the soybean panel. This is kind of a back to the basics day. No PowerPoints, just you, the speaker, and a whole lot of questions, along with a great Beef House meal at the noon hour. Oh, and coffee and rolls from the Beef House in the morning as well. The cost is just $40, but you have to sign up. Get yourself registered right now at willag.org or on the Farm Doc website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. The All Day Ag Outlook is a production of University of Illinois Extension, the Farm Doc team, and willag.org. Now, let's get a series of questions from our analyst for the day. Jim McCormick, let's start with you. What's on your mind?
Well, a couple of the topics we definitely ought to dive into, Todd, is obviously we had Outlook Forum numbers that came out this week. They're a beginning talking point to start the discussion for 2026, but I think they had a little bit interesting tidbit in them. And then I think the other thing we got to talk about is this wheat market. It is taking out technical resistance, and we are scaring the funds out of the short position. And that'll be interesting to see how far we can push this wheat. So that's probably another topic we ought to dive into.
And Logan Kimmel, from your point of view?
Yeah, clock's ticking here on some old crop contracts based off the March, just going through some ideas on what folks maybe could look at there. We've also seen the soybean market trade relatively strong here, really since the January report, and might be presenting some new crop marketing ideas from soybeans as well.
Okay, so let's start with the Outlook Forum numbers. Jim McCormick, I can recap them, but I'd rather have you go through them. What do you see?
Well, I think, the trade was looking for closer to 95 million acres of corn. It came in at 94, maybe a little bit below the number. When you look at the bean planted acres, you got 85 million. I find it a little bit interesting, Todd, that I thought maybe those two combined would be closer to right at that 180 million combined. So the fact they're a little bit below 180, I think, is a little bit of a surprise. And then the one number I think that kind of stands out to me, Todd, on the demand side of the equation is a feed and residual for the upcoming year. They put it at 6 billion bushels, down from 6.2 for this current season. And I would argue 6.2 is way, way too high. So it feels to me like they're doing a little bit of moving the numbers around, trying to keep that carry out below 2 billion. I fear when it's all said and done, Todd, unless we have a real legit weather issue this summer, that carry out is going to be way over 2 billion potentially.
Let me go through some of those numbers, and we'll do wheat as well. USDA projecting 45 million acres for wheat, 94 million acres for corn, 85 million acres for soybeans. I believe combined that's down just about 1%, but as you said, corn and soybean numbers were down a million acres combined. Usually it's around 180. That's a rough estimate. In yield, they put the yield per wheat at 50.8 bushels to the acre, corn at 183, and soybeans at 53 bushels to the acre. Season's average cash price, $5 per wheat, $4.20 for corn, and $10.30 for soybeans. What numbers were you paying closest attention to in that sadder figures, Logan Kimmel?
Yeah, I think just looking at the corn numbers, one thought might be is maybe a little bit low on the acreage, potentially here in this, as we get into the spring. I'm also curious to see what last minute decisions get made, as we've seen beans sort of trying to buy acres here recently. And sticking onto the beans, one other number, just the interesting observation is what they did with the exports, bumping them up to a 1.7. Might be hinting at some continued or increased demand on the export front here this coming year, was one observation we saw.
Given that, they left ending stocks by the time they got the whole supply and demand table at 350 million bushels and above, actually at 355 for this year. The ending stocks currently for the old crop is 350. They did raise, as I said, season's average cash price at the farm by 10 cents to $10.30 from 1020. I'm wondering whether you think that 355 number for a second year in a row is worth that much money.
Yeah, I think it comes down to, I mean, on that and even the core number, if we don't have a weather problem, I'm starting to wonder if those carryout numbers go up from there, corn and beans. So these are all projections, and I think we'll find out more here going into the planting season. But as we look forward to what will alter those numbers, given what they have penciled in, I think it comes down to potentially a weather problem here this spring or summer to see those carryouts come down.
Jim McCormick, exports for corn were down 200 million bushels, and ending stocks were also off by about 200 million bushels, meaning usage was down, relatively speaking, I suppose, particularly for exports. But ending stocks at 1.837 billion bushels was lower. Still, USDA thinking that's not going to result in much of an uptick in the season's average cash price for corn. Should it be better than that?
I would hope it's going to be better than that, Todd. I fear it's going to be lower than that when push comes to shove. Like I said, I have a real problem with the old crop carryout number, or excuse me, feed and residual number, where you're looking at, you know, 6.2 billion bushels. It was at 734 million higher year on year, same amount, if not less livestock. That number just looks way too high. So what I believe, Scott, Todd, is you're looking at the 2.1-2.7 carryout for this old crop, in essence, is probably 200-300 million too low. So your carry-in is going to be a lot higher, and that will eventually push this carryout back over 2 billion, unless Logan is right. We have a weather issue right now, and we'll see. I mean, I think, you know, talking to Eric Snodgrass, I think, you know, his early analog years would suggest more like an odds are, you know, a normal type of weather pattern this summer. But driving across the eastern part of the Midwest, it is very, very dry. A lot of people are concerned about how dry it is for this time of year. And, you know, the weather is going to have a final say on where these ending stocks end up and where the average prices end up when it's all said and done.
Well, let's deal with the old crop for the moment. And I think we'll stick with corn. Logan Kimmel, I'll start with you. You say the clock is ticking at this point for producers who have old crop that they need to make a sale on. I'm going to suggest that they're thinking, well, I have it in the bin. I can handle that all the way through July. What are you telling them?
Yeah, I think there's a little more flexibility there if you do have it in the bin. But I mean, I think about a month ago, Jim and I were on here and we had talked about on corn after the report from January, if we saw a little bit of a rally, you'd be met with some resistance here on this old crop. And it looks to me like that's been the case just from the sheer amount of unpriced old crop corn bushels still in the farmer's hand. It seems like corn has been and would continue to struggle a little bit here while we've seen the wheat and the bean market perform a little bit better. So I think if you're a producer making that decision here, which on March contracts has to be made by first notice day next week, you know, weigh your options. Generally speaking, the second half of February isn't very friendly here to front month corn as cash grain gets sold. There are still ways to participate in rallies potentially this later spring or summer, keeping some upside with a bull call spread, for an example. But I think we need to be mindful on this old crop. We're almost into March. We've seen the market trend higher slightly since the January report, but know the amount of hedge pressure that potentially could hit this market. And then as you look to the May contract, folks that elect to roll, I'm guessing there'll still be bushels in the farmer's hand here in the next 2 months that get priced in the cash market.
And then, Jim, as you're thinking about those March contracts expiring, what are you telling producers who have corn that they need to market, probably at the elevator as opposed to in the bin, but you can take your choice or do both?
Well, I agree a lot with what Logan has said. I mean, the reality is this, Todd, you know, look where Dec's corn was. On going into first notice day, Dec's corn is trading around 425. It had a dead cat bounce to 440 during delivery. It finally went off the board on the last trading day around 431. Where do you got March corn today? Trading at 425 and three quarters. So you can see the value of corn going into delivery is always around 420. The fact of the matter is, unless we get a surprise buy of China buying corn or something, that seems to be value of corn right now with a carryout that's over 2 billion. So as a producer's got to make a decision, especially if he's going to roll it out from a basis contract or something like that, he's going to eat that carry, that, you know, 10.5 cent carry. And I would argue way history is going is eventually May corn is going to fall right back down toward that 430, 425 zone. And I'm guessing July will do the same situation because we've just got too much grain. And if we do not have a weather problem, Todd, you're going to get to the latter part of the summer, June, July, August. And I think it's going to get really ugly if we have what looks like a huge crop coming at us, because what are we going to do with 2.1, 2.4 billion bushels of corn? So I would agree with Logan, take the money. And, you know, if you want to play the what if, that's where the options come in. You get a fixed risk. You can participate if the weather does go bullish, but you cut that risk and you cut that cost. And the fact of the matter, Todd, is a lot of guys need money. Let's face it, the farm situation is very tough. Maybe get the money, pay down some of that debt, and use an option to play for the what if.
Okay, so the what if then is in play. You're saying go ahead and market this crop because it costs too much to carry it forward, but you should carry it if you want to forward in a different way. What are you telling them about new crop corn marketing in that case, Jim?
I'm doing a little bit of it, Todd. I mean, the fact of the matter is I don't really like the price. I mean, 460 is not great. A lot of the clients are either using an option play where they can leave the top side open or maybe sell some grain and then maybe buy some shorter dated out of the money calls in case we do have a weather problem. But like I said, I'm very fearful this carryout's not 2.1 on the old crop. I really fear it's closer to 2.4, 2.5, 94 million acres. If we have a normal weather pattern, you're going to push the stocks to use closer to 14, 15%. And unfortunately, historically, when you have stocks to use that high, the argument economically is this corn market's going to fall closer to that 375 to 350 zone. Just 2 years ago, that September corn went down to 365 into the latter part of summer. Why did it do it? You had projected stocks to use around 14%. That is where we are stacking up right now. So I think there is some downward risk. So starting to lay off some of this new crop corn, but maybe leave the upside open. I think you got to start doing it. We had a lot of clients a year ago, Todd, that were begging to sell corn at 270. We never quite got there. If you can sell some Dec 26 corn at 265, just shy of 270, or excuse me, 465, you know, I'm going to encourage people to at least take some of that risk off.
Now, Logan, some of the next goalposts that Jim would be looking forward to where USDA could make some changes to the feed and residual numbers would be the grain stocks report coming up at the end of March. Of course, it is paired with this prospective plantings report, a survey of farmers across the nation as to what they expect to put in the ground for the spring crops, particularly corn and soybeans. Is it worth waiting, do you think, for them, for the new crop, given how Jim is considering what that might mean for the ending stocks if it gets rolled forward and he's correct?
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't, just judging by the last report, I wouldn't be banking on a friendly number to do a lot of marketing off a USDA report necessarily. I think what we got to do is just look at, you know, what has maybe presented an opportunity, and that right now could be these new crop contracts, which have actually traded decent. New crop December corn has run all the way back up to where it was trading the report day in January. So my fear would be, are we on corn for new crop, are we in the middle of a quiet marketing opportunity that might be presenting itself? And I think back to last year, February was one of the better opportunities that producers had, even though it's not great. So that's my concern on this corn and looking at the new crop. I think it's an area to lay off some risk, keep some upside, but I don't want to look back and think that this might be our winter, one of our winter marketing opportunities that we might be in the middle of right now. I don't know if I'd stick around and wait to see what the planted acreage number is. If it is friendly, there might be some more spots to be selling as folks get the crop in the ground and get a little more familiar with what they might have. But same goes for the soybeans. I think we might be in the midst of an opportunity here on new crop for producers to take a look at what they're going to plant. Give yourself some flexibility, but not ignore where we're at on a chart and where we've come since the January report.
Yeah, Jim. So on that new crop, of course, there is a lot coming forward. The crop in Brazil, Argentina, in the midst of harvest, particularly in the center west part of Brazil, although I'm not sure that hedge pressure comes right away, because that tends to show up, I think, in March and parts of April as it reaches the port. How do you put that all together as it's related to the current strength in the marketplace for soybeans and what producers ought to do as it's related to new crop sales?
I think you got to take advantage of it. I think the market is rallying on two headlines. The first one is the tweet from President Trump saying he's encouraging China to buy another 8 million metric tons of beans. Are they going to do it? Economically, it makes zero sense for them to do it. Beans in Brazil are being sold a dollar cheaper than us. So if they buy it, it is a political buy, just like it was in late fall. But remember how the market played in the fall. China came in and bought beans. The trade rallied the prices up dramatically to try to stick it to the Chinese. The problem was, Todd, as they did it, it moved a lot of people away from the U.S. market because they could buy it cheaper. We're doing it again. So I fear that just like we saw in the fall, the moment China actually does start buying beans, which could happen in April when President Trump's actually in China, are you going to get a meltdown just like you did, a few months ago? The other storyline I think is really being bid up is this RVO, mandates. We're supposed to be finding information here this week about, what the government's proposing. It's the same situation. We've heard these numbers been battered around by the press and by the industry for a very long time. So it's the same situation. You're setting yourself up for the buy the rumor, sell the fact. So the spec money is being poured in on the AI buying, I believe, on these headlines. But once we get done trading the headlines, the reality says we're going to bring the market back down, I fear. Why is that? Because we're overvalued compared to the rest of the world. So this coattail rallying of the old crop by the new crop, I think, has given the producer an opportunity to sell beans at a lot prior price than they would have thought just a few weeks ago. And the second thing, like Logan suggested, you might actually be buying some bean acres on top of it. And do we need more bean acres? With the crop, it looks like coming out of Brazil at this point in time, we probably don't. The world does seem relatively supplied without a weather problem this summer.
RVO, or Renewable Volume Obligations, are released by U.S. EPA. We'll look forward to those numbers as they come out. We'll, of course, have them during the closing market report, and we'll talk about them Commodity Week. Both can be found at willag.org. One of the other things, Jim McCormick, that you wanted to talk about was the wheat market. I think to the upside as it was related to potential. However, USDA dropping a $5 season's average cash price for wheat today, and it feels as if that would put a real cap on any move that corn might be able to make for new crop. How do you put the two things together as they're related in your mind? The production risk, I suppose, for wheat, is that's what you're talking about, and the $5 mark that USDA is using.
Well, I think what you're looking at is kind of two dynamics. I mean, the USDA, the outlook for them, they're looking at the long-term play. There is plenty of wheat in the world. Corn, I think what you're looking at is a market that's playing a little weather event. You got some very windy, dry conditions in the plains. People are worried about the quality there. You've got some cold weather going on in Argentina. But I think the storyline that's been interesting, Todd, is we've been in a sideways market in this wheat market literally since mid-fall. We're finally taking out moving averages. We're taking out downtrend lines. And I think it's interesting. It's not weather that's driving it. it's not the weaker dollar in general that's driving it. It is the funds that are caught short, worried about what's going on in the Middle East. President Trump has said he's going to decide if he's going to attack Iran within the next 10 days. There's reports out of other European leaders are encouraging their people to leave Iran immediately. So obviously the Trump administration's given vibes that they are going to attack Iran. And with wheat being the main staple of the world, it feels like the fund traders right now are like, I don't want to be in wheat until we know what's going on. They remember what happened when wheat went ballistic when Russia attacked Ukraine. Now, it's a different type of game. Obviously, Iran doesn't grow wheat like the Ukraine does. But I think that fear is what's driving this market up. And it may be providing some opportunity for our U.S. producers here if this market really gets unnerved. And if we do attack Iran, I think it could get interesting on the energy market. Remember, when we bombed Iran's nuclear facilities, they did a relatively muted reaction to us. They bombed a couple of our bases, but they telegraphed whom they were going to bomb, when they were going to bomb, knowing that no personnel would actually get hurt. They are now threatening to bomb a lot of institutions or facilities in the Middle East. That could unnerve the oil market. Right now, Todd, we're producing about 2.5 million barrels a day in excess of the world than what the world needs to consume. Iran is pumping out 5 million barrels a day of that. If this world gets really upside down and Iran cannot produce oil, cannot ship it out, the world will go from a surplus to a shortage. The market will respond bullishly, I think, in the energy market. And that would actually probably be a little bit bullish everything, because I think you'll see the funds kind of come in here and buy ag as the inflation hedge.
Logan Kimmel, anything to add on the global geopolitics and what might be happening in the world as you and Roach Ag Marketing view it?
Well, I think Jim's spot on. I think if you look at the wheat market and the crude oil market here in the last few weeks, kind of correlating and maybe alluding to geopolitical pressure or tensions, I think that's exactly what you're seeing. What you're also doing, as Jim mentioned, I think you're scaring the fund short out of this wheat that's might have stayed around too long. So if you're a wheat producer, I think if anything, you got to use this short-term tension or volatility as potentially an opportunity, maybe to do marketing. Because when you zoom out bigger picture, as we've seen from the outlook numbers, you might not have the longer term story. I hope you do, but when we're sitting here at multi-month highs, I think as a wheat producer, you got to look at this and use this as an opportunity to do any marketing.
As we start to wrap up, I do want to come back to the outlook numbers and look forward to the prospective plantings report, which is a survey of producers. USDA will be actively taking those numbers in. They do massage them some once they come in. However, this is, I think, 70 to 80,000 surveys. It should be a pretty good and accurate survey of what farmers think they'll put in the ground. Jim, do you think farmers will show a bigger number for corn acreage than what USDA is at today?
Right now, I lean to think it'll be a little bit bigger. I think it could little over 95 million is where I've been thinking it would be at. And I'm going to stick with that number for the moment. I think that's where we're at. I am going to give it a little bit of caution, though, depending on how the market reacts to it, how far they can carry the beans on this China hype of buying 8 million metric tons and how the spec money maybe drives the bean oil once we get some clarity on the biodiesel, mandates that might, if you get beans to push new crop beans back up toward 1150 or higher, then I think you're probably going to lose some corn acres to beans. I mean, right now, the real $1 million question to me, Todd, is what are the guys in the South going to do? They're not going to plant cotton. Are they going to plant rice? Can they afford to plant it? What crop do they go to right now? But right now, my gut says a little bit, 95 million acres on the corn.
Do you suppose that it makes much of a difference for them what the payout would be from the bridge payments on a crop as to what they might plant?
I think as a whole, as in someone's trying to market, trying to guess what the government's going to do on bridge payments, no. But could it have an impact on the psychology of a farmer depending on how beat up he is financially? you know, the fact of the matter is he gets a big enough bridge payment and it's going to allow him to essentially cover more of his input costs. He may go ahead and say, I'm going to go ahead and try to push into that corn, because a lot of my clients, they just feel like they can bushel up a little bit better with corn. They have a better odds of getting above trend line in corn with the insurance payments than they do beans. But it, you know, the fact of the matter is there is a lot of farmers that are really having a hard time getting financing for this upcoming year. And that will be, have the bigger impact potentially on, are they planting beans or corn? What can they officially actually afford to plant?
Yeah, well, so I have a secondary question about that. When you run through numbers, and Logan, you can answer this too, I suppose. When you run through numbers with producers, are they showing from their own figures that they actually can make more per acre with corn, or is it with a soybean?
Right now, Todd, a lot of the producers I've talked to and all that, you know, their break even for corn, it's somewhere around that 260 level. Well, you got board price corn trade, or excuse me, 460 level, 460 to 470, and you're right there at, you know, 461 today. So you're relatively close. When you talk to clients in the beans, they're probably a little bit closer to 1150. Some are a little bit closer to 12. So if you look at closeness to break even, the corn in general is a little bit closer. But, you know, the fact of the matter is beans are making a fighting argument for acres, because, you know, if you look at where you were on those November beans, just trading here back at the beginning of February at 1068, that makes it an easy push to go with corn. You're a dollar away from breaking even. Now that you're getting closer to 1120, if you can get another 25 cents, I think you're going to get a fighting choice to get guys to go to beans. But then it just comes down to how much fertilizer was laid down last fall as well.
Logan, have you pushed those numbers with producers, and what do their break even show you about one crop versus the other?
Oh, those are pretty well in line, and I think it brings up a good point on to watch this new crop soybean market here going forward, and what does it do as it increases in price close to 1150. I think that's going to provide opportunities for producers.
Let's finalize our program for the day. I'll get a final thought from each of you. Jim McCormick from AgMarket.net in Barrington, Illinois, your final thought for the day.
Well, overall, the outlook numbers were nothing too shocking. It's a starting point. Don't get hung up, producers, on those numbers. The game is just beginning. We are getting some surprise moves in the wheat market because, like I said, the geopolitics, we'll see if that can pull this corn market up on the coattails. I do believe we're getting another secondary opportunity to move old crop beans as well as new crop beans. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. That is my argument. I know a lot of people get hung up on, I can't sell grain in February because it's always higher in certain type of months. We're breaking some of those historical patterns. If the price is profitable, pull the trigger, start locking in profits this year, because it could be a very tough year without a weather issue.
And Logan Kimmel from Roach Ag Marketing, your final word.
Yeah, keep paying attention to the outside markets, as we discussed on, and what opportunities that might provide. Here looking at new crop, especially for the two markets that have traded well here, as we've mentioned, the soybeans and the wheat. And again, just to reiterate, folks on the old crop corn, given the situation, be mindful. I agree, waiting around until July and August with cash bushels and old crop corn might not look so good, barring a weather issue. So there are still ways to participate in a market rally here, potentially this spring or summer. But interesting time of the year. A lot can change as well. I don't want to get too down. There's still a lot of growing season ahead for producers. But I think use market opportunities when they present themselves.
Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find and listen to the whole of the program anytime you'd like on our website at willag.org, or search it out by name in your favorite podcast applications. Our thanks go to our panelists this week, including Logan Kimmel from Roach Ag Marketing out of Naperville, Illinois, and Jim McCormick at agmarket.net in Barrington, Illinois. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.